I want to share as it relates to the passage that Aidan read for us from the Acts of the Apostles, the 20th chapter. And thank you again, Aidan, for reading that passage of Scripture as well. Let me call your attention to our title of my sermon for this morning, Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Look to your neighbor and say, Bless the Lord. Amen, amen. God has been good to each and every one of us. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. I want to share with you as it relates to two personal experiences, because one, and some of our youth, you know far more about this than I do, but trying to be and learn how to be a good grandfather. How many grandparents do we have in the room? Yeah. Oh, boy. Obviously, I'm not doing the best job. I confess it is a fun job, and no way impossible do I even try to attempt to do as I did as a father. Now, if you're not a grandparent, you don't know what I'm talking about. I let my grandchildren do whatever they so desire. Yeah, I'm working on it, trying to get better. How many of you are with me? I mean, you just love it. Yeah, I love it because they don't live with me. Hey, you got to travel 4 hours to get to them. So, hey. I haven't gotten the rule book down, but I am going to try. In fact, later on this week, Linda and I are going to take our grandson, whose name after his father and me, we're going to take him to the movies. And we're going to see a new movie that is out now, came out June 21st, and it's called, Toy Story 4. How many of you have seen Toy Story 1, 2, or 3? Yeah, and 4, probably seen 4 as well. And so I had to Google it because I'm still trying to learn how to be a good grandfather. And my mindset haven't gotten there yet because I feel like I'm too young. Help me, Holy Ghost. And so I was checking it out and looking at the previews and all of that, and that, of course, not my genre of movies at all. But they had two questions. And out of that movie comes two questions, and it's in your sermon notes, but it's going to be on the screen as well. Who am I? Who am I? What am I doing? What am I doing? And from that movie, it's going to be another movie that's coming out, a Christian movie, and that's coming out August the 23rd, and we're going to have a chance as our church to go to the movies again. It's always exciting to go, and many people feel more safer by going together with a group of people they know. Overcomer. But that movie has this question. What do you allow to define you? Ask your neighbor that question. What do you allow to define you? Yeah. Who am I? What am I doing? What really defines me? I want you to look at this sanctuary and this diverse audience and just look around, and not just diverse based upon skin color, but also age and background and all of this, that, and the other. What defines you when people see you? In fact, get closer to home when you look inwardly. What defines you? What defines you? What speaks about your life? I want to share with you a group of folks. One is in the text, the Apostle Paul, of course, but there's another group, and you're going to see their picture now here on the screen. They served as missionaries, and I want you to give them another hand. They had a great trip, great experience. They had fun, came back with a lot of stories. In fact, you'll be surprised. I heard that there's a PK2 somewhere. Look at there. He's up in the balcony. Even for one day, they called one young man Pinocchio. Where is he? All right, there he is. See? Yeah. I mean, they just had all kind of fun in addition to helping people and making a difference in the lives of others. But they had a chance to bond, to get to know each other. And then they listen, of course, to the adults and their youth leader as well. And that's important. But what came out of that story is this. They wanted more time. Isn't that good? You hear the critics. As it relates to our young people, they don't do things like those who are from old school. They wanted more time to help people. They wanted to continue to invest and to be missionaries, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Thank God for those young people to let us know that all young people are not lost. We have young people right here in our church who are making a difference in the lives of others. Praise be to God. Amen. Now, if you look at our text, we have the Apostle Paul, who could have easily answered any of these questions as it relates to his own self, his own DNA. The Apostle Paul knew exactly what defined him. And we've been looking at his three missionary journeys. And if you like to write them down, it's right here on the screen. It starts in the book of Acts, chapter 13, and it continues to all the way to Acts 21. But here in this chapter, chapter 20, is when the Apostle Paul, he's coming away from being free to roam around and to share various mission locations. Because if you continue to read in chapter 1, you'll see that the Apostle Paul is going to be in house arrest, no longer being able to travel to the various locations. But yet we have Paul here writing and sharing what is known in chapter 20 as his farewell speech to the Ephesian leaders. The Apostle Paul is now located in Ephesus, and he's heading to Macedonia. He's getting to Macedonia. He's going back to the first site of his first missionary journey. And while in Macedonia, the Apostle Paul, he shares a warning with those in the church to continue to be persistent, continue to move forward, continue to know what defines you, what you've been called to do. Look at Paul's life in these three missionary journeys, and you'll see how the Apostle Paul held nothing back. He even talked about himself. In fact, if you look at the 20th chapter, when you go home in its entirety, you'll see where Paul zeroes in and deals with his own personality. His own personality, his own makeup. He even refers back to when he once arrested Christians for the faith. And when he was converted, and then when he led others into a relationship with Christ. I want to share with you the next bullet point as it relates to what you're going to see on the screen and help you as a snapshot of Paul's life. Four points, four traits that I want to share. Number one, Paul had a heart for ministry. He had a heart for ministry. God saved him according to Acts chapter 9. And so the Apostle Paul, after having what is known as the Damascus Road experience, his conversion experience, he was led by Ananias. Ananias comes right along the Apostle Paul and helped him have a relationship with Christ, whom he once persecuted his believers. So he had a heart for ministry. Paul was not lukewarm. When Paul was a sinner, he was a full-fledged sinner. When Paul was converted, now he's a full-fledged what? Saint. He was not in between. He was not lukewarm. What you witness with Paul in the light, you could also see in the dark. The Apostle Paul was sold out now for Jesus Christ. The next point about the Apostle Paul, he was filled with energy. Filled with energy. Have you ever seen folks who like Energizing Bunny just have energy, energy, energy? Yeah. When we go to the movies this week, I don't know about you, grandparents, but hey, whatever kind of candy he wants, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't have to take care of you. Yeah. Just energizing bunny, just having fun. The Apostle Paul, he was filled with energy. With energy. He wasn't a sourpuss. The Apostle Paul, if you invited him to an event, you could see that the Apostle Paul was filled with energy. He was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul had God in him and all through him, and he didn't mind sharing him. And then thirdly, he spoke with honesty. He spoke with honesty. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to share with you a passage of Scripture from 1 Timothy. Write that down or look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verses 15 and 16. Doesn't matter what translation you have, you'll see it printed there. The Apostle Paul talked about himself. Have you ever been around people, don't raise your hands, who just talk about other people and never realize when they're pointing their finger, they got some fingers coming back, hello? The Apostle Paul looked at his own DNA, his own inwardness, and the Apostle Paul said, and it's right here in the 15th verse, in the 16th verse, he shares it twice. He uses the word foremost, foremost. Look to your neighbor and say foremost. Paul said, I was the foremost, the chief sinner, the chief sinner. He didn't look to his right or his left, to the people behind him or the people in the front of him or the people in the balcony. Paul said, I am the chief sinner, foremost. Now, when you look at the Bible, that word foremost is recorded 159 times, and Paul used that word 29 times in the New Testament. And there were references to his own life. He acknowledged that he was the chief sinner, but he was what? Saved by grace. He was saved by grace. Hayden, when he read the scripture to us this morning, I don't know if you noticed, but you can look right there. It's in bold, that word grace. I commend God to you and his grace, and thank God for his grace. His grace woke us up this morning and started us on our way. It is God's grace that continues to lavish itself upon us. It's not by our abilities or by our might, but by the grace of Almighty God. Paul acknowledges that grace. He was honest with himself. He didn't try and pretend and try and be something that he was not. Paul says, I was the chief sinner, but God's grace. And if you read the letters of the Apostle Paul, you'll see in Paul's writing, he always talked about grace. Grace is God's redemption at Christ's expense. Grace is God's unmerited favor that has been bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then lastly, he gave with what? Hello, it's right there on the screen. He gave with what? Generosity. He gave with generosity. Paul gave with generosity. He didn't give and feel like he was losing something, but when he gave with generosity. He gave it his all. In fact, you'll see here that Paul shares, as it relates to him being a tent maker, that he didn't try and take anyone's clothing. He didn't try and take anyone's silver or gold. But the Apostle Paul says, by my own hands I worked. He believed in work. He had a work ethic. And the Apostle Paul worked, but not only did he receive, but he also gave. He gave with generosity. Look closely in this passage of Scripture, and you'll see in the 35th verse, you'll see these words here, and I'm going to read them to you right here in bold. Paul says, and I quote, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. The Apostle Paul is actually quoting our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, some of you great theologians and Bible students, you immediately can go to your Bible and you say, well, wait a minute, where's that quote? Where's that citation? In fact, right here in this Bible is printed in red. If you have your Bibles, look at your Bibles. Is it printed in red? The majority of the Bible have this passage, the 35th verse, printed in red of the 20th chapter. Now, mind you, we always love to say the words of Jesus are printed in what color?
Red.
You can look in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You won't find them recording that quotation. But the Apostle Paul is sharing as it relates to this quotation, and it is backed up based upon Matthew, the 5th chapter, with the Beatitudes. You remember the Beatitudes? All of those blessings. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. Blessed are those who are what? Poor in spirit. All of the blessings in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, those are blessings. But then now, in Acts, the 20th chapter, in the 35th verse, Paul comes along and he gives us this quotation from Jesus, and he says to us, it is more. You thought you were blessed based upon Matthew, the 5th chapter? If you really want to be blessed, he said it is more blessed to what? To give than to receive. Than to receive. Now, other critical scholars would come along and say, well, how do we know those are words of Jesus? Well, you have to read John's gospel. Look at John's gospel if you have your Bibles, and look at the 21st chapter of John's gospel and the 25th verse. And you'll see where John says, if we recorded every word of Jesus, the whole world could not what? Attain it. Every words of Jesus are not recorded in the Bible, according to John. And so the Apostle Paul is correct. It is more blessed to give than to receive. We think it's more blessed to what? To receive than to give. I want to share this illustration with you, and perhaps many of you are already familiar with this. It's a cup that I purchased while we were in Greece. The Pythagoras cup. It is also referred to as the cup of justice, or for others, the cup of moderation. It is a good truth and a good reminder how God continues to bless each and every one of us, but he wants us to what? To give. He wants us to give and to learn how to give. This cup, according to history, around 500 BC, one philosopher created this cup to share with his students that each student would have the same amount of liquid. Doesn't matter what that liquid was, so don't go there, amen. But it's a clear reminder of what Paul is saying in the text. It is more blessed to give than to receive. How do I know? If you have your Bibles, look at the book of Genesis. God started, when he started creation, everything God created gave back. Everything. We're going to walk out this door in a few moments. We're heading to 11 o'clock. I know you Methodists. The sun is shining. When God created the sun gives what? Light and energy. How many of you experienced rain yesterday? Yeah. The rain comes along, and the rain helps what? It cools things down. It helps things to what? To grow. Rain continues to refresh, replenish. You look at the moon and the stars. At night, they give what? Light. Everything that God created give back something. Look at the flowers. Even the flowers with seeds continues to grow. You look at this cup, and inside of the cup, there's a ring around the cup. And the illustration is this. God continues to bless each and every one of us. If we continue to learn to give, everything works out fine. And the more you give, the more he gives to you. Hallelujah. How many of you know that? I hope our online listeners know that too. Yeah, yeah. The more you give, not your neighbor, not your buddy, but the more you give, the more he gives to you. I'm a witness to that. But if you get a little stingy, this cup will go over the line, and look what happens. It's going to come out another way. God is reminding you and me daily how to live and how to give. The Apostle Paul reminds us as well. See, God wanted us to know how to give and how to give because he gives. And he continues to give. And he gave. You look at your Bible, God, those who really want to be blessed, learn to be just like God, a giver. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know about you this morning, but as I get ready to close, I can say like David, bless the Lord. You look at Psalms 103, and you'll see how David shared in those verses, just the beginning of those verses, as he was pouring out his praises to God. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his what? Benefits. Forget not his benefits. He forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction and crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. How many of you just believe in blessing the Lord? David was reminding us, he even gives our mouths some good things, and he renews our youth. Let the church say amen. Amen, and it is so. Let the church say amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get the Lord.